If you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1, I want to just encourage you before we get into our study in Genesis chapter 12, I want to encourage you, and this is all part of one thought, is that we're into a new year. And this is not a new year message per se, but God put something in my heart for me, and maybe it might be something for you. But in the life and history of the children of Israel, especially here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, they had been traveling for some time, almost 40 years. God had taken them out of slavery. God had removed them from Egypt. He did that miraculously, crossing the Red Sea. He provided for them in magnificent and miraculous ways through the manna and through the quail, protecting them. Later in Deuteronomy, it said, even though you've been walking in these shoes and in these clothes for so long, are they worn out? No. So God even took care of their physical being. And not only their spiritual future, but their physical being. But there came a point in the children of Israel where they decided that this is enough. We know that God has great plans for us and He's promised amazing things. He's done the miraculous. We've seen His hand move on our behalf. But for us, we decide that this place is enough. We've gone far enough. We don't want to go any further. We don't want to take any more land. We don't want God to do any more. And they came to a place of plateau. They were no longer growing upward. They were just growing in this flat, mundane, controlled, safe environment. And it's just like that that we find ourselves, I think, today. Coming into a new year, we can look back, and if you're anywhere or anyone like myself, I can look back on times when God wanted to do things in my own life, and I was unwilling to, by faith, take hold of the promises. Can you identify with that? That God promised something to you. God was wanting to do something in or through your life. And you said, no, God, this is fine. I'm happy. I'm safe. I'm okay right where I'm at. But thank God that by His grace, He doesn't leave us where we want to stay. In chapter 1, verse 8, it says, as they pitched their tents there in Horeb, the Lord our God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the hill country, to the place of the Amorites and their neighbors and the Arabah, and the hill country and the lowland and the Negev, and the seacoast and the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon as far as the great river Euphrates. See, I have set a land before you. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them and to their offspring. See, what God was saying to the people is that you're willing to take hold of what is good, but what I have promised you is something great. God was urging them on, challenging them to not be satisfied with the mundane, but to take steps of faith and take hold of the promises. I love that in verse 8 he says, see, I've set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land. Maybe God would be speaking that to you today. Maybe there's some promise that He gave you in 2015. And as we enter into 2016, God would have you look back and say, what about that promise? What about that word I spoke to you on this particular day and you wrote it in that notebook? Or you asked for prayer and I promised you some victory, some celebration. I think God would have us to look at 2016 and say, go in and take what God has already given to us. I'm not saying that that's financial. I'm not saying that that is health. Because with God, the most important land that we can take is spiritual. Let's pray and we'll get into our study. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we have this example that you're always attempting to spur us on in faith. To take steps and to let go of this mountain to go to those places. And Lord, you've promised so much ahead of us in your word. There are so many promises that we can dig into that you have given us in your word. Lord, may this be the year that we take you at your word. May this be the year that we take more of you as you take more of us. May not only your word invest itself into our lives, God, and bear fruit and fruit that remains, but may we see more and experience more of you, Jesus. And we pray this in your powerful name, by grace through faith. Amen. I want to look at the life of Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis. Abraham, known as the father of faith, we know this from Hebrews chapter 11, that Abraham was a man that God called out. And that when God called him out, he went where God told him to go. We know that when God called him out, that God didn't tell him, though, where he was going. That it was by faith Abraham believed God. In that same chapter, in verse 6, it says that by faith we're pleasing to God. But faith comes with an incredible history. As I read chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, I'll read it and then I'll give you some history. We'll look forward as to what God was telling Abraham, the calling that God had on Abraham's life, the steps that he was taking or calling Abraham to take, the blessings that God had over Abraham's life, and the result of that faith. It says here in chapter 12, verses 1 through 9, "Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and from your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make for you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Verse 4 says, "Abraham went as the Lord told him. And Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan, and when they came to that land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, 'To your offspring I will give this land.' So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country and to the east and to the Bethel and to Bethel and pitched his tent and with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on." Now we know that this story doesn't start here in chapter 12, but it starts in chapter 11. And even in chapter 11, when we look at the life of Abraham, we only see him and the genealogy there. That Abraham was dwelling in Haran with Terah, his father-in-law, and these other cousins and brothers and uncles and in-laws and sorts. We know that from Acts chapter 7, verses 2 through 4, that there was an event in Abraham's life, a very specific event. We know this because in Acts chapter 7, verses 2 through 4, it says that God appeared to Abraham in Mesopotamia, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Now, there's something about that event, that unique experience that God had, or Abraham had with God. It says there that God appeared in all of his glory. That God appeared face to face with Abraham. And God spoke something to him. It says there in chapter 7, verses 2 through 4, this same thing that we see here in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. That God was commanding Abraham to go to a new place. Now in chapter 11, we see that Abraham took God at His word, but there was limited obedience to Abraham's faith. Much like most of us, we can have experience with God. We can hear from God, whether from a pulpit, or we can have this experience with God through a service of worship, or maybe we're reading our Bible, and God shows up. He may not show up in all of His glory, but we sense the presence and the purpose of God just like Abraham. God was calling Abraham to step out in faith. He was calling him to a place of separation, to move out from his people, his relatives, and his father. Now we know historically, we know archaeologically, that the place of Ur to the place of Canaan is 1,500 miles by foot. That's a lot of miles. They didn't have cars, they didn't have trains, they didn't have planes in those days. And so for Abraham to step out in such a way was an incredible step. He would be leaving everything that he was familiar with, everything that he was comfortable with, to a place of insecurity. A place so far from what he was used to that he couldn't hold on to that which was familiar. As I mentioned in chapter 11, we find him in Haran. He took half the journey. He went 700 miles. There were still 800 miles to go. There were still 800 miles of faith. God blesses faith. Partial obedience on Abraham's part was disobedience. Although he's the father of faith, we see that throughout the life of Abraham, we see these mistakes and failures of faith. Just like many of us, Abraham saw and heard from God, and God would call him to something. Now let's look at verse 1 of chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and to your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." Now we can find three things here in this particular verse. It's pregnant with meaning and pregnant with opportunity and application. The things that Abraham was hearing was not his own imagination. It was the very word of God Himself. When the writer of this particular book says, "Now the Lord," this is the very first time the name for God is used, Yahweh. That name means all-sufficient one. It talks about that God is without beginning, without end, that God is all-sufficient, and that God is in no need of our counsel or our opinions, that God is sovereign. So when God spoke to Abraham, He spoke with all authority. The Creator of the universe, the Creator of Abraham Himself, was speaking things into Abraham's life. He was speaking to him to be separate. If you remember in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, it says this, "I will call them out to be a people that's separate. And as they separate themselves, I will dwell with them. They shall be my people, and I will be their God." The things that Abraham would hear from God had a very specific expression and a very specific purpose and intention to separate Abraham for himself. Whenever God tells us to step out in faith, it is never for the sake of faith itself, but to have more of us, that God might give more of himself to us. Amen. Abraham, although he lived in Ur and Haran, and he was gaining authority and he was gaining popularity and position and possessions, he could have leaned on his own sufficiency. He recognized that although he was an authority, he had to submit to another authority. And faith always submits itself to the authority of God. Disobedience, lack of faith, disbelief fails to see the sovereignty and the authority and the sufficiency of God himself. Now, as God would call Abraham to be separate, he would say, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. Now, I want to look at that just briefly. Because when God calls us to faith, he calls us to a journey of steps of faith. And every step goes deeper and deeper. Every step, God is asking for more and more of us. First, he is very general with Abraham. Go out from your country. Leave the place that you were born. Abraham was born here. He knew the people. He knew the layout. He knew the roads. He knew the society very well. He knew the culture. But what God was telling Abraham was, don't let people, familiarity, or culture rule your life. I want you. And Abraham was called to depart from there. As God would ask for more of Abraham, he would say, leave your kindred. The relationships that you find to be so dear to yourself, the community that you find yourself living amongst, I want you to leave these people. And finally, God would ask the most intimate things of Abraham, leave your father's house. Now, all of this was not only unfamiliar, but it was not normal. No one left their home. No one left their birthplace. No one left their people. Especially no one left their father. But steps of faith become personal. The one thing that God was calling Abraham to was to a place of inconvenience and a lack of control. That Abraham would find his convenience, his safety, and his place in God alone. The challenge of our faith is we're so willing to look backwards and look outwards that we don't look upwards, trusting God. And that was the challenge to Abraham. Would he find his sufficiency in his family? Would he let culture and tradition lead him? Would he hold on to those things that are most intimate to him? Or do we let go and go out? Abraham was called to a place of departure, to depart from that which was most familiar. And faith doesn't look back, it looks forward to the promises and the person of God. Verse 2, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and in him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, not only do we see God calling Abraham in his authority, God calling Abraham to departure and to let go that he might take hold of God rather than the things he was holding on to, that God had great promises for Abraham. Now, when God commands us to go, and I'm not talking about mission, I'm not talking about evangelism or ministry, I'm talking about going from one place to another spiritually. God gives us two things, the promise of his word and the promise of his presence. The promise of his word and the promise of his presence. There's four things that God promises to Abraham. One is to make him a part of a great nation. That God was about to do something much bigger than the nationality of Abraham. That from Abraham, a new nation would be formed. From his seed, ultimately, we know that a new nation would be formed, that of Israel. And ultimately, a new citizenship would be formed through his seed, Jesus Christ. He also promised to bless him, that God's favor would go with him. Thirdly, God promised to make his name great. God promised to make his name great. And finally, God promised to bless those who bless him and dishonor or curse those who cursed him. Now, sandwiched in between those verses, there's a key participle about what God desires to do with our faith. Now, although God was asking more of Abraham so that he could give more of himself, it wasn't only for the sake of Abraham. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. And for this purpose, so that you will be a blessing. The generosity of God is always that we might be generous ourselves, that we might be a blessing to those that bless us. And then as he says there in verse 3, that families of the earth through our lives would be blessed. God has called us to a ministry of reconciliation. We're to be the aroma of Christ. We're ambassadors and we're representatives of the character and the person of Jesus. These same promises are ours. God is making us into a great nation. A nation not of Ugandans or Americans or Europeans, the nation of people after God's own heart. A people of God's own purpose and plan. A nation under His authority. That we might be a blessing to others, that we might display and generously distribute the character and the purposes of God. Now in verse 4 it says, so Abraham went. As God commanded and God promised, not only His word but His presence, it says there that Abraham went. Now you remember from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, it says in verse 8 that Abraham went not knowing where he was going. That's the thing about faith. It doesn't put its trust in the result. It puts its trust in a person, Jesus Himself. You remember from Acts that Abraham saw God. His life was transformed by the person and the experience with God Himself. Abraham, I believe, wasn't so caught up in the land. He was caught up with God. It didn't matter where Abraham was going, as long as God was with him. Now in verse 4 through 6, we see the wanderings of Abraham, and we see the age that at 75 years of age, Abraham departed. He sets on this journey of an 800-mile hike towards God's plan and towards God's purpose. Now in verse 7, something I believe is so wonderfully given to us in verse 7 and verse 8. That as Abraham was obedient, it says God appeared to Abraham. Isn't that amazing? That through obedience, we see God. We experience Jesus Himself. We can believe by faith. We can sit on our couch. We can trust God for the promises. But the activity of Abraham's faith and the steps of obedience that Abraham took allowed him to see God. That's the result of faith. The result of faith is seeing God. And God speaks again to Abraham. He gives him further revelation. And that's much like the steps that God takes us through. That is, God speaks something very simply. Maybe God has given you some general revelation of where to go or what to do or something to respond to. And it's so general. You just begin to walk. And as you step, God shows Himself to be strong. He shows Himself to be present. He encourages you. He emboldens your faith by appearing, by showing you He's present. God here gives Abraham another part of the promise. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples? I'm giving you only so much right now. You can't handle everything I'm about to do. And if I told you what I was going to do, it'd be too overwhelming. He says there, to your offspring I will give this land. Now, not only is the result of obedience seeing and hearing Jesus, I think we see something about the life of Abraham that we should model. That when we step out in faith and God honors that step with His presence and His word and further revelation, it says there that he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. I love this because in chapter 13, in chapter 14, and in chapter 15, and in ultimately in chapter 22, Abraham's life becomes not only a life of faith, but a life of worship. He's interacting with God Himself. He's not only seeing God, he's not only hearing from God, his life is being transformed in such a way that he actively worships God. And as you follow Abraham through these particular chapters, you will see he continues to build altars where he sees, hears, and worships God. The result of Abraham's faith was friendship with God. And God would call him to deeper steps. In chapter 13, I'm just going to make some mentions of a couple of these verses and chapters as God would call Abraham to deeper places of faith. Abraham and Lot, as they went out, and their flocks and their herdsmen would grow, the land would become too small for them. You remember God had given promises to Abraham of land, of people, of offspring. And they make a choice to look out on this land. Abraham would look to one side, Lot would look to another. Lot would see Sodom, water flowing, the green of the land. He would look at the physical and the temporal rather than look at the eternal. Abraham, with his eternal perspective, and Abraham, with his deeper trust and knowledge of God, trusted God and believed the promises of God. And he submitted the choice to Lot. God honored that. And in verse 14 through 17, God takes Abraham to a place and he says, look out, east, west, north, south. Do you see everything you can see? This land will not only be yours, but your offspring will be like the dust of the earth. Remember, at this point, Abraham is 75 years with no offspring. Try believing in God for that. He looks out on parched land, where Lot has just taken all of the best land, but he believed in the promise and the purposes of God. In chapter 14, he'll see Jesus himself. After he goes in and takes these people in victory and war, Melchizedek shows up. And it says in verse 19, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your land. Now just prior to that, what does Melchizedek give Abraham? He gives him bread and wine. It's a beautiful picture that God is allowing Abraham to see the future promise. Jesus himself, the communion table, as we'll partake of in a moment. And he blesses him there. He reminds him that you're blessed because of God Most High. Not only did Abraham worship the altars, but here in verse 20, Abraham worshiped with his possessions. It says in verse 20, Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Not a tenth of his income, a tenth of his assets. Everything that Abraham owned, he put it on the altar and sacrifice of worship. He not only believed God for his future and the parcels of land, but he was willing to give up and be generous with his possessions and worship God and trust God with those things. Ultimately, God in chapter 22, in chapter 19, God would honor the promise. He would give him a son, Isaac, but God would take Abraham to the place of his greatest crisis of faith. And God would again ask Abraham something so intimate, so personal to Abraham, that I believe Abraham would be overwhelmed and tremble in himself. He would ask of him to sacrifice his own son. You remember that God won't give us something that he isn't planning to give himself. John chapter 3, we know that God gave his own son, Jesus Christ, for our sins. God is asking Abraham to identify with himself. And God provides a lamb on behalf of Abraham. Now, as Abraham was faithful to step out and believe God by faith, to separate himself, to surrender to God, to be submitted and trust God himself, Abraham's life was marked by faith, and it was marked by worship. If you have your Bibles, let me just have you turn to Isaiah 41 for one more particular statement about Abraham. And we'll wrap this up. Now, not only was God, actually Abraham, marked by faith, not only was Abraham marked by worship, Abraham was marked by friendship. In verse 8 of chapter 41 of Isaiah, God speaking to the people of Israel through the prophet Isaiah says this, "You, Israel, are my servant. Jacob, whom I've chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend." Abraham's life ultimately was marked by the intimacy of his relationship with God himself, that he was known as the friend of God. Through faith and through worship, Abraham became intimately related with Yahweh as the friend of God himself. Now, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 1, and we're looking at this passage in Genesis chapter 12, I know that God is promising Abraham land. God is promising Abraham people. He's promising him a future and a hope. But I think the greatest thing that God promises and fulfills in the life of Abraham is friendship with God himself. As we look at the promises of God for our own life, they're for the very purpose of God taking more of us, that he might give more of himself to us. We can't trust without knowing. We can't believe without experience. Both of those are wrapped up not in our possessions, not in the persons that surround us, not in our popularity or our reputation, not in our families or in our culture. Our faith is wrapped up in a person, Jesus Christ himself. Amen? And Abraham saw that. John says this, Jesus speaking, Abraham saw that day. Abraham saw me. And his life was set on a course of desperately following by faith the presence and the person of Jesus. May that be the mark of our life. As we look into 2016, and this isn't meant to be a New Year's message, but it has felt like God was telling us to look at Him, to look for Him, to be wrapped up in Him. 2016 brings so much change, so much economic change, political change, so much challenge and crisis in the world to come. There's so many elections, both in my home country and this home country. The times are uncertain, but we know this, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can trust and believe by faith that we are in the palm of the hand of the Almighty God. And that God wants more of us this year. Would we give Him more of us? Would we make the passion of our life this year and the purpose of our life this year, despite the circumstances, despite our relational or our economical status, to know Jesus and make Him known. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank You that in the life of Abraham, in this small sketch, we see that he was a man that saw You. He was a man that believed in the promises and the purposes that You had for his life, that he heard from You, God. That You knew that he was a man that could be trusted with the gift of Your plans and purposes for his life. Lord, that as he walked forward in obedience, we see him seeing You. And Lord, that's the desire of our heart. We don't want to be like the children of Israel, standing and waiting and watching. And next year, standing and waiting and watching. We want to be people of the promise. We want to be people of faith. We want to be people that honor and glorify You, Lord, by the presence and the righteousness that You display through us as we know You and make You known. God, may this be a year that's marked by our friendship with You. Deepen our faith. Deepen our understanding. Take us deeper in our knowledge of You, in Your Word, and in worship and experience. Lord, may we individually and corporately see You do great things among us. And that throughout the year, there'll be altar after altar of times when You've appeared or You've spoken and You've manifested Yourself. And we pray this, believing in the powerful purposes and the powerful name of Jesus Christ Himself. Amen.